Thanks. So first, I just want to thank, mention that I'm giving this talk in place of the first author, Liz Carter, who wasn't able to make it. And also want to thank the other co-authors on this work, Susan Rhea and Steve Shaw. And also mention that this is preliminary work, and so we're expected to do more analyses on what I'll be showing. So this is a little background information. So in the recent years, there's been a number of statistical modeling studies indicating that both historically and projected maize yields will decline, either directly due to high temperature impacts or where temperature is being used as a proxy for other climate variables. More recently, I think there's been a recognition or an understanding in the climate community that probably the dominating influence on maize yields is right now, at least, is soil moisture stress, at least abiotic stress. Although, as we've heard recently, as temperatures increase into the future, it's possible that temperature may become a more dominant factor than it is right now. The problem that we face with rain-fed data and rain-fed maize is the multicollinearity among the climate variables and the interaction of those climate variables with crop physiology and crop management. An example of this is estimating canopy and reproductive organ temperature in rain-fed maize as compared to air temperature. And that's because net radiation the partitioning of net radiation in rain-fed maize and canopy and the reproductive organs between latent and sensible heat loss is dynamic, and it depends on the temperature, it depends on the vapor pressure deficit, but it also depends on the crop response to soil moisture stress. And then finally, just to mention that all this is going on against the background of continuing improvement in maize yields due to genetics, breeding, and improved management that are improving the response of maize cultivars or improving the yields in the face of increasing temperature and soil moisture deficits. So the goal, kind of our goal here, was to try to understand better whether we could pick out temperature impacts as opposed to other factors influencing rain-fed maize yields. So we had an advantage in having quite a robust data set to work with. This is from the National Corn Growers Association corn yield contest data, and this was for both irrigated and rain-fed classes in Kansas, Missouri, and Nebraska. And the advantage of these data are that we assume that there was optimal management. So we're looking more focused on just what are the impacts of climate on maize yields. We had a large number of values of yield data to work with, and we also included management, had quite a range of management inputs or data that were coincident with the yield data, including planting date and cultivar, so we could identify growing stages at least approximately using thermal time, so it allowed us to look at impacts by growth stage. We had the period 2005 to 2012. This was a time when there was a significant variability in yields and climate, but we saw no yield trend. I should mention that the yield data were matched to weather data. One of the limitations of these data are that it was county-level data. We didn't have locations within counties. So so we matched up weather data with counties based on proximity and on whether they were in the same average GDD growing degree day zone. The method we used was, because of the nature of the data set, we used a mixed effects model, statistical model, to analyze these data. And the fixed effects were management factors, you can see here, and then climate variables were also tested as fixed effects. So just a little background, this was data results that were presented last year. What we found when we looked at irrigated yields is that there was no impact of daytime heat stress indices on maize yields. the indices were KDD is killing degree days. That's degree days above a maximum temperature of 29 degrees. Thermal time in hours above 30 degrees. Thermal time in hours above 34 degrees. And vapor pressure deficit. Those were all reported in the literature as kind of threshold indices for damage or for reduction in mesials. We didn't find any impact of those. This was even for 2012, which had the highest recorded irrigated yields in the period we looked at, and where there was record or near record high temperatures. So one takeaway message from this that we got is that the current thresholds need to be reconsidered, thresholds for damage or impacts on yields and temperature. So if you look at the kind of distribution of rainfed maize yields, this is a yield as a function of June, July, and August cumulative precip for the entire data, rainfed data set. You can see at temperatures above, precip values above about 250 or so, yields were all generally high. This is not surprising. What is interesting, though, is that at the lower precip levels, we saw quite a distribution in yields. Clearly, part of this distribution has to be related somehow to soil moisture, and so we'll be looking at that in just a second. But you can see it goes from very low to quite high yields. So I think this was our interest and trying to identify what are the factors there and how might temperature be responsible. One thing I should mention is that the collinearity. So high vapor pressure deficits were associated with low precip, and those were associated with high temperatures. So that presented some difficulties in trying to pick out a temperature effect. To try to look at that a little more in depth, we did a principal components analysis of the seasonal climate variables. And I think the thing I'd like to point out here is the vectors for precip and for VPD are about equal in magnitude and are opposite, so that we have higher precip is associated with lower VPD, lower precip, higher VPD. And if you'll notice, these temperature threshold parameters are trending towards the lower precip, higher VPD line. And that's where most of the lower yields were found, yield being represented by the red circle versus the higher yields with the green. So just to keep in mind, this is kind of the background that we're dealing with. What we found when we ran the model with the seasonal climate variables is basically all of them are significant. So our initial cut at these data were then to look at by growth stage and to try to pick out some comparisons we thought might be of interest and helped us to elucidate the impact of temperature. So one of these was to look at the average maximum temperature during silking, Anthesis silking, as a function of the cumulative precip from June through August. And you can see you get what's perhaps not surprising given the irrigated results. High precip, no impact on yield and quite high yields, but at lower precip you get a range in yields from quite low at higher temperatures to less at lower temperatures, even at low precip. So it's possible we're seeing a temperature effect here, but we don't know because of this issue. So it's possible that we're one thing obviously is low precip will cause lower yields, but also it's possible that there is a temperature impact if you factor in that with under low soil moisture, you're going to have this more partitioning of net rad to sensible heat, and you're going to have higher canopy temperatures that are above the air temperature. So really can't tell, but at least there's some indication here that there might be a temperature impact. If we look at it during grain fill, so this is looking at early growth temperature and maximum temperature versus grain fill average maximum temperature. This was quite interesting because you can see that if you have low temperatures during or moderate temperatures during grain fill, but high early growth temperatures, you get a yield reduction. If you get the reverse, high grain fill maximum temperatures and low early growth temperatures or moderate, get a yield reduction. But what was of interest to us is that at when you get high early growth maximum temperatures and high grain fill maximum temperatures, you actually get an increase in yield. And we saw this in our irrigated data, and we interpreted this as a thermal acclimation, something that's been reported in the literature. And this seems to be somewhat independent of precipitation. So this was quite an interesting finding and consistent with what we found in the grain fill in the irrigated yields analysis. So as I said, there are other factors in, that must be influencing the distribution, the large range of yields at low seasonal precip, and one of these would be antecedent precipitation. So this shows the planting rate as a function of antecedent precipitation, and the yield is color-coded there, and you can see generally the higher yields are associated with higher antecedent precip. But what's interesting is that low antecedent precip, growers were, or farmers were responding to that in part by planting at a lower planting rate, which, you know, makes sense in some, at least it seems like it would, but what we found is that that doesn't necessarily lead to improved yields. So if we look at that a little more closely, then you can see that at high antecedent to low antecedent precip and low planting rate, you do get a little bit of benefit by planting at a lower rate. But if you go across at low antecedent precips to higher planting rates, there seems to be a yield increase. Now, this was surprising to me, and I think we need to look at it more, but I think the point I want to make here is that management factors have to be considered in these analyses. And we've heard this before, and we heard it actually in a meeting prior to the Tri-Societies meeting on cereal systems transitioning cereal systems in the face of climate change, that the genetic by environment by management interactions are important in understanding how climate is going to impact maize yields. And then, as I said, another, we know that the soils will impact this, and sure enough, when you look at the higher root zone available water storage, even across the range of antecedent precips, if you are in an area with a higher storage capacity, you generally get buffered from the impacts of a lower precip. So that accounts for some of that variability I showed a few slides ago at low seasonal precip levels. So again, this is kind of a preliminary cut at these data, but some of the summary statements you can make is that, as I've been trying to point out, there is an impact of water, not surprising, and this is both antecedent growing season precip as well as the capacity of soil. These are not new ideas. The interesting thing, as I mentioned, is that the low planting rates don't seem to necessarily stabilize yields in low moisture years, but we need to look at that further. You know, as I've been trying to point out, there's a difficulty in trying to identify temperature impacts separate from other climate management impacts, but it's possible we're seeing some of that in some of the data I show, particularly around anthesis and silking and at grain fill, and also we saw evidence of thermal acclimation, which I think needs to be considered when looking at the impacts of climate on maize yields. And I'll just acknowledge, there's my acknowledgments, Corn Growers Association, USDA, and our climate sources.
Thanks, Jeff. Time for one question.
Yeah, so the VPD, as I mentioned, we linked the yield data, and it was by county, with the nearest weather station to that county. And so we used the temperature, and we had from those weather station data, we had maximum temperature. We were using hourly data. We had relative humidity, and so we were able to estimate the VPD that way. The soil moisture we used, that was based on Sergo data over with a crop layer overlaid on it, the national crop layer. So we were looking at soils only where we knew there were annual crops being grown. And within the Sergo data, if there was no restrictive layer mentioned, we assumed a rooting depth of 1.5 meters, calculate the...
Thanks, Jeff. Joel, a quick one?
Just wondering about National Corn Growers data. All I see each year is a winter in the state.
Yep.
Is there a whole lot more than that?
There are.
All yep. the entries?
Yep, exactly.
So they give you all the entries to those states?
That's right. Yep.
Very good.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thanks.